Hey there, this is your old buddy Tom, the Toonami Operations Module. Settle in, it's about to get good. Toonami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Whenever you're ready.
Welcome to the televised revolution, as we drift through outer space aboard the Absolution. With Tom back in active duty as captain, in charge of bringing superior anime action. Yeah, you came to the right place if you have a taste for animation in deep space base. Broadcast through your television due to the progress of the Bring Back Toonami Twitter mission. The same block that brought us Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball Z is back, so stay tuned. I remember way back, never leaving my room. I stay glued to my TV weekday afternoons. Yeah, and thanks to Adult Swim, I have a reason to use the TV in my room again. Cause every night I'll be tuning in, since they going back to showing action tunes again. Toonami's back, bitches. Wait, did you say Toonami's back, bitches? That's the official hashtag if you missed it, to celebrate Tom's return to television. Yeah, Toonami's back, bitches. Wait, did you say Toonami's back, bitches? That's the official hashtag if you missed it, to celebrate Tom's return to television. Welcome to the anime action fan sanctuary, with Tom providing that slick commentary.
Hey there, my Toonami generation, and welcome to a brand new episode of Tom's Prerogative, right here on the Absolution Network. I am, of course, your primetime host, Thomas Primetime Mattis, and I welcome you to episode 64 of The Prerogative. This week, while we continue our Full Metal Panic coverage, as last week we covered the first season of Full Metal Panic, and this week we're going to cover what is essentially a companion piece to both the first and second season, as it takes place both during the first season, second season, and in between. I am, of course, talking about the comedy that is Full Metal Panic FOMOFU! I love both the coon. Yes, Full Metal Panic FOMOFU, which, as I just said, companion piece to both them, takes place in a weird time frame of basically the entire Elise anime franchise. Which essentially makes this one of more unique reviews I'm going to do, is I really don't know how long this review is going to take. This review could be anything from a half hour to an hour. Mostly because of, you know, we're not going to have a lot to say about art. And really, that's one of the difficulties about reviewing anything that is a second season or a sequel or, you know, a companion piece like this is. You know, you're looking to assess, or essentially when you're talking about art, you're looking to figure out what to talk about in that standpoint, other than, hey, they kind of improved this character's look just a tiny bit. They're better at it. But we're going to get to all that a little bit later. So I just want to give you a fair warning. This might be a short episode. That being said, we don't have any emails or comments, but before we get right into the plot, and I say that with air quotation marks that you can't say, or can't see, well, there goes my bid to actually speak perfectly. And I wanted to bring hell, and have the world come to an end, and have hell freeze over. If you don't understand why I'm even saying that, I'm referencing a podcast I recorded earlier this week that will be released soon, as of this recording. Yes, I am completely trying to get you to go see my other podcasts like Comic Book Crazy, Hexcast, or Tokyo SOS. Because I plug shit like that. Speaking of plugging shit, I do have another plug I have to tell you guys. Well, not have to, I want to tell you guys, because I want you guys to come. That sounded really wrong. But moving on, I am, of course, talking Now that, like, for those, by the way, who are left after that awkward transition, thank you. But, yeah, my, as I've been saying, my 5th anniversary and 28th birthday are all coming up on the same day that I'm celebrating. If you go to Facebook right now and either search for Thomas's 5th anniversary birthday bash, or go to fan site of this podcast, which is the Absolution Network on Facebook. I'll have a link there. You can find it there. You can find all the details for my September 12th birthday bash right here on the internet, which is going to be Thomas's 5th anniversary birthday bash bonanza. We're going to have a live call-in. You know, all the details of how to contact me. Which, again, I'm going to be using Skype. You just have to, you know, search for my name, which, you know, as we get closer, I will give more details to. And, you know, there'll be a live call-in. You can call in, be a part of the show, have fun with me and my special guests. And, you know, it looks to be something exciting. With that being said, let's get right into our review of Full Metal Panic FOMOFU. First, of course, we have our synopsis, and our synopsis is that we have no synopsis. Full Metal Panic FOMOFU is the comedy tidings of the Full Metal Panic cast. That's the plot! As we continue to watch the romance of Konami and Sosuke grow, this is Full Metal Panic FOMOFU! Right into it with music, as we always do. And pretty much, again, it's one of those instances where much of the music, at least the in anime music, is pretty much the same. It's the same from what's been used in Season 1. You hear a lot of the same melodies. They might be given different names. They might have a bit more of a comical pace to them, or comical feel. But overall, the music is the same. There are some new pieces, but none that stand out like ones that did before. A lot of the new pieces are more comical pieces that are to be enjoyed. Something definitely here is that really music really takes a backseat much more than it did in Season 1. You know, in Season 1, it was there and it worked great. It enhanced the story as it was supposed to. But here, the music is really not that important. It's there to be sort of a familiar feeling along with what the art is. I mean, again, it's not that this is necessarily a bad thing, because again, I love, as I said last week, I love the music. But it's one of those things to where there's nothing special, there's nothing new, it's just the music from last season with a couple new pieces that are more comical thrown in. With that, we do have our opening and closing theme, which, as far as the music is concerned, is the highlight of the music. The opening, both the opening and closing are sung by Mikuni Shimikawa. The opening is Soraka Ari Desu, and the closing is Kimi ni Fukukaze. Their English titles, the one for the opening is Isn't That Love, and the closing is The Winds That Blow to You. Now, both of these are wonderful. The opening is, you know, to put it in a word, it's like a Michelle Brandt song. It's this sort of pop rock guitar, or acoustic guitar, I should say, type of song. You know, if you've ever heard of Michelle Brandt, you know, she's playing the guitar while she sings her song. Very much like that here. You know, that's the type of melody. It's this sort of pop song with the singer playing on her guitar. It's this sort of pop love song, which is perfect for this title. And it's soft and everything, and it's enjoyable. And I think it's just perfect for this sort of romantic comedy that this series is about. And then Kimi ni... why am I saying the Japanese name? The Winds That Blow You, the ending song. It is more of a sort of fun, upbeat little song. And I particularly like it. It's a great little credit song. I think the thing I like most about it is if you watch the credits, you know, there's these super deformed Sosuke at the top, super deformed Konami at the bottom, and they're walking separate ways. And as the credits go, they show pictures of their, you know, their friends and everything, you know. With Sosuke, they show pictures of the student council president and Shin Kazama, and they, you know, again, they start walking behind him. So yeah, it's definitely one of those things where I lost my place. But yeah, like this fun upbeat song, and so I love the super deformed, you know, Tessa is there, and all Konami's friends, and they're walking behind her, and they're just walking, like, it's this march, they're marching, that's what they're doing, they're marching to the other side of the screen, though they never go anywhere, it's the credits roll. It's this fun little thing, that I find really, really enjoyable, and I look forward to seeing the credits for that reason. So it is something that is enjoyable about the series. But as far as the music that's in the series, again, it's holdovers from the first season. A little new, or a couple of new comedic pieces thrown in. Some fluff. But you know, overall, enjoyable. With that, let's move on to the art. And once again, for the most part, at least for the characters who are returning, the art hasn't changed. The design... the action sequences, background, none of that changed. And in fact, the overall art style hasn't changed. It's taking what they did in the more comedy pieces of the, you know, the Full Metal Panic series. And again, that's what this series is about. There's, again, because of that, because they're doing comedy, there's a lot more comedic aspects to the art. A lot more puns, a lot of sort of Looney Tune-esque aspects of, you know, face palms and stuff like that. You know, there's a particular scene I remember where, you know, Konami gets, you know, the classic, you know, frying pans on the back of her head. It's a classic sort of Japanese anime comedy joke. So you see a lot more of things like that. More comedy aspects thrown into the sort of art. But, you know, again, it's not really changed. If anything, they've just gotten better. Because again, you know, it's the same same studio doing the art. It's Gonzo. They've gotten better at drawing it. Character designs, again, returning characters are the same. The sort of new characters are very unique and add to the more comedic feel. From the student president, whose name I'm trying to stay away from right now, to, you know, Ren, to, again, I'm trying to slowly cut down to his names, Isu Tsubaki, who is this black belt sort of rival of Sasuke. Their color scheme, their design, all adds to the more comedic feel, because they definitely feel like more comedy characters than characters than that would be in the main series and be serious aspects of the series. You know, they're straight men. They're comedy relief. These new characters are there for those reasons, either to be the straight man or the comedy relief to whatever comedy is happening on screen. And of course, you also have the returning character from the series, like Kazama and Koko, or Shinji, Koko, Mizuki, who, again, they were comedy relief in the first season as well, and so they're refilling those roles. Not that there isn't comedy that comes from Konami and Sasuke, but I'm mostly talking about from their design. You know, again, their designs really reflect the more comedic aspect of this season. Action sequences are done over the top to really aspect the fact that this is a comedy. I mean, just fantastic action sequences where there's no action sequences needed. It's so over the top. It's so... And really, just, you know, again, the action sequences that parody, like, action movies from The Matrix to Lethal Weapon to all sorts of type of action movies. It's wonderful to see, and it's just absolutely hilarious. I do definitely love that, the over-the-top aspect of the action sequences. And then you have the backgrounds and the special effects. Which, again, you have the same crew of Gonzo working on the art here. They've gotten better at the backgrounds. Again, the background in this case is mostly Jindai High, though you have some of the surrounding areas being reflected. They do a really good job of having this comedy feel like it's in a real-life setting, especially considering that Jindai High School is based off a... Not only is it based off an actual high school, it's based off a high school called Jindai High School. But it's in a different prefecture, I believe. In Japan. But, you know, the backgrounds are great. The special effects, again, special effects are over the top to give it that comedic feel. Very enjoyable. Usually this is where we would put a break in, but again, we're only 16 minutes in. So we're going to go right into acting. And of course, before I go into acting, I give you the cast list, because Lord knows I want to give credit to these people for their great performance. Of course, you have Chris Patton returning as Sosuke Sagara, Lucy Christian returning as Konami Chidori, Vic Mignogna returning as Kurt Weber, Allison Keith returning as Melissa Mao, Hilary Hagg returning as Teletha, Tessa, Tessarosa, Monica Real returning as Kyoko Tokigawa, or Tokiwa, excuse me, Greg Ayers as Shinji Kazama. Now, we had a different actress as Mizuki Inaba last time, but Jessica Boone voices Mizuki Inaba in this series. Christopher Ayers, Greg Ayers' brother, voices Atsunobu Hayashimizu, the student president of Jindai High. And Nancy Novotri voices Ren Mikihara. And last but not least, we have Noam Karef voicing Isi Tsubaki, who is, again, the black belt sort of rival of Sasuke in the series. You know, overall, I really love... You know, one thing I think ADV, a.k.a. Sentai Filmworks, is really always been good at is comedy. You know, Funimation to an extent has always been the sort of shonen action adventure sort of studio in Texas. ADV / Sentai Filmworks has always been the more comedy fan service sort of studio as far as anime is concerned in Texas. I speak of that because, again, Funimation and ADV are located in Texas. ADV / Sentai Filmworks, I believe it's, or at least I believe Sentai Filmworks is still in Houston. And Funimation, I believe, is in Austin. I could be wrong about that. Somebody will probably correct me if I am. In fact, I'm pretty sure somebody will correct me if I'm wrong about that. That being said, being that this is what ADV was best at is comedy, the voice acting is just absolutely incredible. Their comedic timing, the way they deliver lines are just spot on perfect. My God, I'd love to hear the blooper reel for this series, just because of the things that sometimes get said. It's, the crude humor and everything, it's just absolutely amazing. I really do enjoy it. Chris Patton, it's just the sort of lovable way he's just, like, the way he delivers the line, he delivers it so as if, you know, his character, there's no possible other answer for what's going on screen. And just, you know, taking the first episode, the way he delivers the line of Sasuke saying why he blew up the school locker, the way he delivers it makes you feel like you could believe that there was no possible other way for him to take care of the situation other than blowing up the locker. Even though the rationale and common sense in your mind says, yes, there is! just great. Lucy Christian, just the over-the-top sort of comedic nature. And of course, art also has to do with it. Because again, a lot of times there's sight gags. And again, I have to give that credit to the art, going back. There's a lot of great sight gags that the Gonzo did that was just absolutely wonderful. And Lucy Christian under her voice, the Konami Chittery, one of my favorites is in the second episode when they're doing bread. And again, Konami keeps warning him, no more traps! Just the way she says it. And the reason I bring up her voice is because the payoff to that joke of her reaction is in the last time she warns him. And because she's screaming, she's had such enough screaming that all she does is go, paper fans there. And she's got this white look on her eyes of like, I'm ready to kill. And Sasuke just gets it. And it's that's the payoff. And it's wonderful. I'm trying to contain myself because comedy really needs to be left for story. But, you know, all the voice actors here, they have such wonderful, like, Greg Ayers, Christopher Ayers, are great comedic artists. Allison Keith is funny in her own sort of sexy way, which I love. Vic Mignogna, God, how can a man be so good at being a pervert? I have no idea. The sort of simpleness that Monica Rial gives Kiko, I love. And going back to Christopher Ayers, the way he's always agreeing with sort of Sasuke, or sort of sees common sense in Sasuke's way, is just hilarious. All the characters, they play tropes, they do play cliches, but that's the point, and it does lead to it being funny. With that, I think it is a perfect way to finally go into story. And like I said, this is where we're going to talk about, because really that's the main aspect of this. We have 2 points, and it's the comedy, but the first point is, again, this is sort of a continuation of Konami's and Sasuke's relationship of sort of the main Fullmetal Panic story, because again, this is a companion piece. For the most part, you've seen the action in, you know, the first series, Fullmetal Panic, and, you know, if or when we ever get to Fullmetal Panic 2, when we take a look at that, that is mostly a serious action piece and action plot as well. So really, what Fullmetal Panic FOMOFO is a bunch of filler episodes that really explore the evolution of Konami and Sasuke's relationship as it continues to grow. And I think it does a great job at that. You know, because again, you see them being friends. You see them, their feelings for each other grow. Really, mostly evident at the final episode where Sasuke is, for the most part, the only one calm, and because he's calm, he finally realizes something that sort of protects Konami. As we'll get to in a second. But yeah, you see that evolution of their friendship and the evolution of their feelings towards each other. I think one of the sort of honest, good moments of their relationship is... I apologize as I try to stall for time as I try to get to the episode list. So I'm trying to remember which episode it is and I can't... Yeah, that's second rate. Yeah, this is where we want. The title of it is Uncontrollable Bluebirds. Let you make your own joke there. Actually, that's just me being absolutely perverted. I apologize. But basically the plot of the episode is that there's a lack of space for junior high student organizations. And one organization, the Social Science Club, agrees to give up their club room as long as the other groups agree to take place in an experiment where they basically have to see how many people of the opposite gender they can gather in one spot. Sasuke basically makes a bet with, I guess, the rock group that he will bring in at least one. Of course, all hilarity ensues. And it seems as though he fails until Konami... helps out by going home, putting on her mother's kimono, and showing up so he doesn't have to strip naked and go into the lake. And it's just this general honest feeling to their relationship at that point of how they help each other out. And so I love that aspect. Now on to the coup de grace, the comedy of the series. Oh my god, I love this series. I mean, first off, just going down the list, I really have to. Man from the South, the very first episode, I love. Just a great opening to the series, a lot of good pieces. Episode 2, Hostility Passing By, and The Fruitful Lunchtime, absolutely hilarious. One of my favorites of the season. In fact, if I had to go through my top five, it'd be number two, number four, the second part of Goddess Comes to Japan, which is episode 9, the final episode, fifth period hotspot, and of course, my favorite is number 7, The War Cry of Excessiveness. I mean, overall, The comedy is just gold. The psych gags are perfect. I find myself just laughing hysterically at every episode. But as I said, War Cry of Obsession is my favorite. The rugby episode. Where it starts off with this rugby team that's just so sensitive. And they don't want to hurt anybody. And it's like... Of course, at the time this was released, we'd probably call him another name, but because we're a sensitive podcast here on the Absolution Network, we're not going to use that derogatory name. Right now, somebody called out, Ball Bleep! Ball Bleep! Yes, I'm censoring myself. Gotta love it. Anyways, but just take that, and then just... them having to go training under Sasuke, and Sasuke using Mao's how to abuse a training recruit. And the fact that it works, and the language that is said, it's like, my god, they put this on DVD! Oh! I love you, ADV! I love you, ADV! It's so... how can you not laugh at this? If you don't laugh at this, you do not have a soul in your body. You don't. You can't. It's not possible. In all the copies of the series, it's great. The psych gags. I talked about earlier the one during the fruitfulest lunch. And of course... anytime Konami gets angry, the way she just beats up on Sasuke. It's I'm waiting for her to go, here's a bump on the head. to bring Dexter's Laboratory into this. But, oh man. In the fifth period, Hotspot was a perfect way. I am somebody who loves a great build-up to a great joke and sort of great irony. And in the episode fifth period, Hotspot, Sasuke gets sent this container that contains basically a biological weapon, and he has to leave to answer something he did, as he usually does. And of course, a great way he's forced to leave, Konami drags him out, like, ow, 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 ow. He just sits there with the same static look on his face. Well, one of the students eats something hot, and he's looking for water, and he accidentally takes and opens up the biological case and drinks it, realizes it's not water, finally drinks some water somewhere else. When Sasuke comes back, he basically, quarantines the room and tells them that a biological weapon has opened and they might die. And as you would imagine, hilarity. I mean, Sasuke's talking about it, it's like, don't worry, I will form your next of kin. And he's not looking at the class is crying and everything. And they're all sort of crying, like, how does this happen to be? Like, I'll form your next of kin. He finally looks up and there's this screenshot, which, by the way, I want for my computer, where everybody in the class has now, like, leaped toward him, and they have these demon look in their eyes, and this includes Kaname, who's, like, in this crotch shot, like, ah! Oh, it's one of my favorite shots of the episode. It's absolutely hilarious. And, of course, hilarity keeps the suit. Kaname managed to keep control. And, you know, she finally gets him to, like, we're all gonna just sit quietly as the end comes and everything. And she's got him under control, and they're all having this good sort of, it's our last day, let's all hug Bobe. And then Sasuke forms, but I have an antidote, but there's only enough for one. All of a sudden, everybody hates each other. And Kaname goes, Sasuke, you have you have an irredeemable way of making situations worse. So they all draw for it. And nobody wins. Who wins, though? Sasuke. So madness breaks out. Then the teacher breaks the quarantine. So all the students decide, to hell with it, we're going. But as the episode continues, it's basically revealed that it's not some deadly virus. It's a biological weapon that basically destroys petroleum products, as in clothes. I think you can see where this is going. And basically that when it reaches when the weapon reaches human temperature, it eats away at polyester clothes. So basically if you come in contact, you should only wear natural fabrics. Of course, Sasuke, when he finds this out, immediately takes Kaname to the nurse's room to put her in the bed so that she'll be covered up when her clothes disappear, which they do. Meanwhile, in the rest of the school, the virus has spread and everybody's clothes start going away. The clothes start peeling away because the virus is eating them. And so, like, all of a sudden, people are, like, turning up naked. You know, bras and panties are falling and everything. And everybody now is, like, being turned naked at school. And everybody, of course, knows. It's a great way to get into the series. Like, but Sasuke realizes that there's no hope for him. And he for the first time, like, in the series, he actually fears something. He fears what's about to happen to him as the school is aggressively searching for him to kill him. It's a perfect way to hit the series. It's one of my favorite episodes. I also, surprisingly enough, I love the Hot Springs episode, which is the second part of A God Has Come to Japan, which is a hilarious two-parter in itself. But I think the bigger reason is this episode apparently is so popular Which, by the way, the episode itself, of course, it has sort of the fan service comedy, but the whole premise of the second part is Kurtz and I can't remember the other friend, but Shinji are all trying to get a peek on the girls. And and it ends with this parody of Gundam Seed where Shinji, like, apparently realizes his potential. And there's if you've seen Gundam Seed where, you know, when, I'm forgetting the name of the character, but the main character, his potential reaches and that thing appears and sort of breaks. Well, in this case, it's a pair of panties appears and it, like, shatters. And he, like, destroys all the, like, the security guns that Sasuke has appeared up. And he does this massive leap, and he thinks he's gotten a girl bath, but they didn't realize that the bath switched. And so there's Sasuke. And it basically, they indicate that his face lands right in Sasuke's crotch. And the only thing hiding from him, apparently, playing with a hot dog, let's put it that way, in his mouth, it is... It should make the fangirls happy. It's a ping pong paddle. And it's insane. It's absolutely insane. But the other reason I like it is because another sort of favorite series, that anime series that came out, I want to say 2009, called Prince's Lover, would actually parody this episode on its Hot Springs episode. It's like, this is almost shot for shot the same episode. So for an episode to be that good, that other sort of harem series and romantic comedies want to parody it, and some even basically do a shot for shot remake of it, you know it has to be very hilarious. So the comedy throughout the series is just great. So overall, I think this is a great companion piece for Full Metal Panic. It is a collection of the filler episodes that basically it's just comedy, and the comedy itself is crude and out there. But at the same point in time, I think the best part about this is that you don't need to see the first series. You don't need to see the second series. You can watch this by itself. One thing I was afraid of is that, you know, to look at this, somebody might not get it. But at the same point in time, ADV does a great job of translating who these characters are. Gonzo does a great job of translating who these characters are. So you don't need to have watched the first season. You can just instantly get who these people are and just enjoy this series. If you're somebody who doesn't like crude comedy, fan service, and all that wacky stuff that, you know, people like me like, yeah, you might not like this. If you don't have a soul in your body or you're one of those uptight people that, you know, can't stand this type of comedy, you're not going to like this. I think for normal people, though, and people who have common sense, you'll absolutely love this comedy. I think this is actually a must-have for any anime fans' collection. It's that good, and it's just hilarious. So, Full Metal Panic Fumofu gets a 5 out of 5 from me. So that's it for this episode of Tom's Prerogative. As we reach the... What mark are we on? We're on the 37-minute mark. Or about to. I'm not going to get technical with that. I told you it was going to be a short episode, though, folks. Because we didn't have a lot to talk about when it came to art. But yeah, thank you. I apologize for the short episode. Next week, though, I promise we'll probably have more to talk about. We're going to be actually covering another series... that we've reviewed before. A couple weeks ago, we reviewed Burned Up W. Next week, we're going to be reviewing Burned Up XS, which is a 26-episode series. And as such, I think we're going to have more content to talk about. So we'll definitely have more to talk about next week. Of course, we're also going to have the jiggle counter to talk about. I'm going to be watching this series multiple times as I have to watch it with the jiggle counter. So, yeah. That's it for this episode. If you have any comments or anything, as I slowly move away from that, any comments or anything, remember there are several ways you can contact the show. You can contact the show first by emailing us at absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. And just to let you know, the A and the N is capitalized on that email address. So absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook. As I said earlier in the show, you can do that by going to Facebook and searching for the Absolution Network. Like us and leave us comments there, or you can always leave comments on the website, which you can find at www.an.132productions.com. Also, remember to check out all the other 132 production sites, which of course includes the Otaku Momentum right here on the Absolution Network, the Shaft Plus podcast, which you can find at www.shaftplus.com, the Comic Book Crazy Podcasting Network that features Comic Book Crazy and Hexcast, which you can find at www.comicbookcrazy.132productions.com, and of course the Tokyo SOS Podcast, which reviews every Godzilla movie ever made. You can find that at tokyosos.132productions.com. Of course, on the sidebar of our site, there are all our friends. Really advise you to check them out. This, of course, includes Michael Bailey and his group of podcasts, like Views from the Home Box and From Crisis to Crisis, Brad Douglas' Spider-Man Crawl Space, Steven Slater's Major Spoilers Podcasting Network, and, of course, Scott Gardner's Two Freaks Podcasting Network, along with many more. Like I said, that is it for this episode of Tom's Prerogative, episode 46. Like I said before, next week we review Burn Up Access. So get your jiggle counters out and ready, folks. Until next time, my Toonami generation, stay golden.
Hope you enjoyed it. This is Tom signing off. And until we meet again, you know the rest.